And now please turn with me to Psalm 96. Psalm 96, reading through the 13 verses of that psalm. Let us hear the word of God. O sing to the Lord a new psalm. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the fields be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word. May God indeed bless both the reading and the hearing of his word. As we seek to hear today what God would say to us as we look at this psalm, it will be helpful to first of all take a very brief look at the previous Psalm 95. Both psalms are about worship. There's a lot in the psalms, in many of the psalms, about worship. But in 95, there is the call by God to his covenant people to worship him. And in that call, there is a clear definition or description in three parts as to what worship is. It is, first of all, coming into his very presence, into his holy temple. That is where we are now as God's people. To worship. It is recognizing that he is the sovereign God. And it is bowing down to him, that we listen to him, we give ourselves to him. Now, there's a lot that could be said on all three of those points. Those are for other sermons. But in Psalm 96, then deals with, in the light of that description, the psalmist deals with, as I've entitled my message this morning, the occasion for worship. Understanding worship as defined in Psalm 95, we see that now we're dealing with particularly the reason and the how. The reason and the how. So that's the context. There's a very close relationship to God's call to worship in 95 and what we see worship is in 96. But yet there's a distinction to be made. Today we will then look at worship to get the overall picture that we see in Psalm 96. I further plan in future messages to come back to this psalm and examine the various aspects of that worship as it is given to us here in greater detail. But again, for today, we will seek to understand particularly, very specifically, the why and the how. The why and the how. So here is the question that I would pose that we all consider this morning and ask ourselves. It's very simple. Why do you worship? Why do you worship? Now, we do understand, as reference was made earlier and clearly taught in Scripture, God has made all mankind as image bearers of God. In other words, all humans are religious creatures. And every person that has ever lived and ever will live, whether he acknowledges or not, every person has his God whom he worships and calls upon. And as our psalm makes it very clear, any worship of any God other than the God of Scriptures is idolatry. So again, I ask the question, why do you, why do I, why does anyone worship the God of creation? The God revealed to us in Scripture, and particularly the God who came to Adam and Eve and came to all of us after sin and gave us salvation in Jesus Christ. It is really quite simple. It is because God has determined to save a people unto himself. He calls his people. Think of the words of the great shepherd in John 10, where he says, I know my sheep. They hear my voice and they follow me. In other words, why do you worship? It is simply a response to salvation. You worship God because he has saved you. Now, certainly there are a number of ways that the individual believer can say and ought to say in some sense at a daily basis that I respond and give my life in devotion to God. But the psalmist understands, and you will see clearly presented in all of Scripture, in fact, that there is the need and a desire when God works salvation in the hearts of his people to then express a response to God in formal worship. So what the psalmist is talking about in this psalm is how we express to God as God's people, our response to salvation. The point simply being salvation that we need to underscore. Let me be clear about this. Salvation leads to a response. It is impossible that there would not be a response. It is a response which is expressed in worship. Literally to say, I love Jesus. I believe in God. I confess Christ is my Savior. That's really very important to me. But right now in my life, I just don't have any time or an interest. I don't need to gather with God's people and worship. That is an absolute contradiction. You cannot confess Christ and have no desire to worship him as God calls you together with God's people. So this worship which God calls his people to in 95 is described here as, listen carefully, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. Now, what's that about? In fact, the phrase is found in other psalms, such as 33 and 98. But most telling with respect to what is meant by this phrase is the reference in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. In the song we sang earlier, there's a reference to Revelation 5:12. What we have there is the picture in heaven with the Lamb in the midst and bowing down to the Lamb and singing of salvation. And we read, they sang a new song. Now, without going into a lot of details about this phrase, and it is a little bit of a difficult phrase, you will find a number of different things said by different commentators about this. But ultimately, it is a reference to salvation. To sing a new song is simply to respond to being saved by God. It has the context in the ancient world in reference to when the battle took place out on the battlefield, and the victory was gained, and the victor celebrated their victory, and it was referred to as singing a new song. Not that they engaged a songwriter to come and write a new particular song about that, but it's a reference to the victory itself. The point is simply, again, this: you have salvation. I'm reminded of the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, who was announcing the good news of salvation, the words, "Comfort, comfort my people." And then he goes on to say, "Their warfare is ended. Iniquity is pardoned." It is the announcement of salvation gained for them by the Savior. So we're talking about the people who know salvation, God's people, you who have come to understand that Christ is your Lord and Savior. And the psalmist says, sing about it. Respond. It is salvation. It is what they do. It is the expression of the saved. It is the shout of victory. Again, the reason you worship is that you are saved. That is the occasion for worship. It is the celebration of the victory. I said earlier this morning that we celebrate, and we note that in the book of Acts. They met on the first day of the week because they celebrated the resurrection of Christ. It's a celebration. Again, the Psalms is about worship, formal, corporate worship. This psalm, coming into the presence of God with his people. And it is corporate worship, is what those who know God do. We do not worship so that we might gain some points with God. We do not worship so that we can figure out how we can overcome the things we've done wrong and gain some things with God in that way. We worship because we are saved. Because Christ has gained the victory. You know, there, if you leave this morning and there's nothing else that you really got, don't miss this. It is the message here to you. You cannot separate worship from salvation. In our evangelical world, I think we do that. We do that a great deal, and it's a great mistake. We talk about salvation in sort of a personal experience, and certainly is that. And then sort of tacked onto it, oh, by the way, as God's people, we ought to also think about the advantage of coming together and worshiping. You know, those who are saved are those who worship. They are together. You know, from the very beginning, we read in Genesis chapter 4, after Adam and Eve had sinned, and man is put outside of the garden, and you have there the description of the life of the ungodly and the life of the godly. And there is presented to us Seth, the third son of Eve, who states her faith that he is again the promise of the seed. And it says, and then men began to call on the name of the Lord. It is the characteristic of what God's people do. They call on the name of the Lord. Now, obviously, in the providence of God, there are, of course, times and situations where corporate worship is simply not possible for a time, perhaps due to an immediate threat. Sickness being sometimes even in a portion of life, at the end of life, many people are shut-ins and are unable to. But let us be careful what we consider to be providential prevention. Think again, It is the shout of victory. We have victory. What are we afraid of? We come to God. We fear God, the God of salvation. So the occasion for worship is to sing the new song, to know salvation. All right, what does that look like? I have mentioned the three essentials from Psalm 95, that we come into the presence of God. But what does that then actually look like? Well, consider again those words. Sing a new song. It is not only the shout of victory, it is, obviously, a song. And part of the connotation of sing a new song is, yes, the reality of victory. It was about the shout of victory when the battle had been won. Anyone who has ever been in war, in the midst of the ugliness, when it is over and the battle is won, the response of the victor can never just simply be a nonchalant, well, we won. They don't just walk off the battlefield and say, here's the news, we won. There's a celebration. There's an expression of joy from the heart. The celebration of the victory is a response. Yes, it is of excitement. It's a true response of the heart. We know today one of the great and terrible ways that sin has raised its ugly head in our world. But in Christ, death will not prevail. Life will. We celebrate that victory. Yes, there is a simple expression of faith. There is the message of the gospel. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. We must say that. In a few moments, we're all going to get together confess our faith by using the historic confession, the Apostles' Creed. But for the child of God, there is truly a response of the heart. It is a response to God, not frivolous, not disrespectful, not out of control, but it is one of true excitement. Shout the victory that is ours. Just simply consider the fact that that's what the Psalms are. The Psalms are the inspired response of God's people to God. And there is tremendous revelation of God. There is a lot to study intellectually in the Psalms about who God is and how we are to respond to Him and live before Him, how we are to know Him. But again, worship is the occasion of salvation, and the occasion of salvation is to know the depth of the enslavement of sin, the hopelessness of the life of sin. And now, in Christ, we are free from all of that. To then know by means of the good news of the gospel that God has changed our hearts, has replaced that heart of stone which rebels in rebellion against God, which leads to lawlessness and no account for life, etc., and all of those sorts of things. That's who we are by nature. And we have been freed. We have a new heart. One can only respond from the heart. If there is no emotion, both of tears, of understanding what it is that we deserve from God and what it is that our Savior took in our place that we might have life, that doesn't bring tears to your eyes and joy in your heart. There's no heartfelt emotion expressed with song. I think you need to re-examine your heart. Do you really understand what God has done for you in salvation? You cannot read the Psalms. Again, I encourage you to read through the words that we sang this morning, all the words that we sing. The gift of song is the gift of God given to his people, from which we speak to our God, the Savior, from the heart. Just look at some of the descriptions in the psalm itself. Verse 9, we read, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth." Verse 12, "Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Let all the trees and the woods will rejoice before the Lord." What does that look like? The fields rejoicing, the trees rejoicing. It's a picture of celebration. It's a picture filled with joy expressed. Now, believe me, I in no way, be very, very careful about this. I in no way, and clear about this, want to in any way downplay the importance of the ministry of the spoken word of God in the worship. That is central. Must always be central. But the music is not just then to be something that we tack on so that we can say we did a little few other things besides just the sermon. The occasion for worship is salvation. The response to the salvation given to you by God is by song. Not everyone has the same gift of music. It is a great gift from God. And believe me, I know my family reminds me of that regularly. But you can express celebration of salvation from the heart. Not all respond in the same. Not all is appropriate, but you cannot truly know God and his salvation on just simply a purely intellectual basis. Nor can you know God just simply on an emotional basis. The psalm talks in depth that we will see as we further examine this song about knowing God and about who he is. There can only happen by those who are saved. The psalm does have a fair amount to say, as I just indicated, as to what that response of the heart is really all about. The psalmist does go on to give definition. Verse 8. "Give to the Lord the glory due his name." We come before the Lord. Give ourselves to him. The beauty is not that of an outward physical beauty. It is the beauty of holiness. But it is expressed as beautiful. You know, something that is beautiful is something that you're attracted to. It is something that is desirable. It is something that is pleasing and enjoyable. It also says we tremble before him, of course. And yet in the sense of glory, which can only be found in him. Now, without getting into further detail, we see here by means of song that there is revelation. God is made known. In the new song, we learn of his beauty and glory. And so in that worship expressed in singing a new song, there is who is God. There's theology, if you will. I think one of the great tragedies of the modern contemporary sense of worship in the church is that we have this sense of, on the one hand, we have the worship called loud noise, or loud noise called worship, and then we have a time in which we say something about the scriptures. On the other hand, the old traditional of just everything is about the sermon and then we mumble some songs is equally false. Worship is responding to God from the heart in celebration and responding knowledgeably. The theology, which we will yet look at. And notice particularly as well, again, not something added on to worship. There's this tendency to say, well, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, and yes, that would be nice if my neighbor was. No, it is part of who you are as God's people when you confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Part of that confession is to make it known to the world, all the earth, sing the song of salvation, and to know failure to do so, God is the God who judges. But the response to salvation begins with the expression, the shout of victory, which is coming together as God's people in celebration of the victory. Worship is the response of the saved. I call on you to sing the new song. Sing the new song. That is, respond to the message of the gospel. Hear the announcement of the victory. Celebrate the victory. Enjoy the beauty of God. Be filled with joy and joined of trees in the field in a celebration. And then go live as those who have sung the new song. Serve God with your whole life. Yes, fight against the forces of darkness, such as abortion and many others. And then look with great anticipation and excitement and desire to again join together in lifting your voices and singing the new song. Let us pray. Our God and Father, yes, we sing the new song. We rejoice. We shout with the celebration of victory. Let us know, help us to understand what that victory is. Help us to respond in the celebration. May we truly acknowledge the greatness, the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And may we rejoice together, even with the trees in the field. May we rejoice together in our Savior who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.